Today's Mishnah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yirat Kodesh in Mikvaot, is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. All right, so until now we've been discussing all of the dinim of the Mayim She'uvim, and we had this big machlokas. If you start a mikvah off with Mayim She'uvim, so according to Rebbe Elazar, we have the halacha that if there's even a revias, that mikvah is never going to be a kosher mikvah. The way we paskin is that if at any point before the mikveh has a shear of arba'im sa'ah, of mayim ksherim, if it has anything less than that, then if you put three lugin of mayim she'uvim, that mikveh is posel. And then it's posel no matter how much additional mayim that is kosher you would add. That was clear. Now, the question is, how exactly would those three lugin have entered into the mikveh? So Rabbi Yossi says, especially in a case like this, you've got two separate mikvaot. Neither of them are kosher, and they don't have arba'im sa'ah. So let's say each one of them has 20 sa'ah of mayim k'sherim. Into each one of them, you have exactly a lug umechza, such that if you would put them together, you would now have three lugin of mayim psoi. These two mikvahs were separated by, let's say, a removable mechitza. So now you go, and you make these two mikvahs one mikvah, by pulling out the mechitza. That means that at the same moment that the three lugin enter the mikvah is a mikvah of arba'im sa'ah. So now the two mikvahot are nit'arvu. The din is, says Rabbi Yossi, is that these are completely kosher mikvaot, because we never had a moment in which we had three lugin of water in a mikvah that was chaser. So it's not as if we decided that the 1.5 lug mikvah was pasul in any way. All the water that was in that mikvah, other than the 1.5 lugin, was actually perfectly good. And then when they put them together, there were now 40 lugin of mayim ksherim. So there was nothing that affected the kosher water in either of those mikvaot, and nothing had been called posel. But in the same case, where you have a mikvah that does not, a single mikvah that doesn't have arba'im sa'ah, and three lugin falls into that mikvah, and now somebody's got the brilliant idea of, let's put the mechitza in between those two mikvahot. So now we only have 1.5 lugin in one, 1.5 lugin in the other. Now I'll fill up each one of those mikvahot so that each one of them have 40 sa'ah, and they don't have any kind of shlosha lugin psulim in them. Then it would be kosher, you would think, but it's not. Because in that case, even though it's currently without three lugin in one place, it was nechlak l'shnayim, it remains pasul. Why? Because we already called it pasul. B'meshenikra lof shem psul, it was already given the name of mayim psulim, and all the water that was in that mikvah became mayim that are psulim l'mikvah. Now here's the Rambam's lashon on this. The Rambam from Mishnah Torah: Hare elo psulin shekol hamikveh kulo shenifsal kemayim she'uvim uchashuv vecheilu kol meimav nishavu bikli. The din of shlosha lugin mayim psulim is that it turns all of the water into mayim she'uvim. Now that's an extremely important way to understand it, because it means that that water that's in the mikveh can never be mitztaref now itself in order to be machshir a mikveh. So it's not as if you have only three lugin of mayim psulim. You now have an entire mikveh of mayim psulim. So therefore, that's going to change everything that you would think about the heksher. Now, what's interesting is that that is a machlokes tanoi. Because Rabbi Yoshua says, if you split up the mikvaot, then you can be machshir. Because according to Rabbi Yoshua, there's no such thing as the shlosha lugin actually passeling all of the water in the mikvah. The only din, the way he understands it, of shlosha lugin, is that so long as there are shlosha lugim mayim psulim in a mikveh, it doesn't help to keep adding mayim kshirim in the mikveh. But once you know you don't have shlosha lugim of those mayim, you can now be machshir the mitzvah by adding in the kosher water. So therefore, in that case, if you put a mechitza into the mikveh, now you only have 1.5 in one side and 1.5 in the other side, what's the problem? There's no place where you have shlosha lugim mayim psulim abu paso. Therefore, Rabbi Yehoshua says that now that you've got the two smaller mikvahs and you filled them up, now they're kosher. Shaya Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, kol mikvah, she'en bo arboim sa'ah, v'naflu lo shlosha lugim. Imagine a case. You've got this mikvah. I don't care how much water is in it. It's something less than arboim sa'ah, right? Now, you take out a tiny bit of water, maybe just a kurtov. A kurtov is like nothing. It's a 1/64th out of a lug. I mean, it's almost nothing. It's less than 10 milliliters. So you took off this, it means a thumble fill. You took out a thumble of mayim out of that mikveh. You now have some of the molecules of the shlosha lugin of the mayim she'uvim that went into that thimble fill, right? So you don't have shlosha lugin anymore. So now the mikveh can become kosher because you know that you took out some of the shlosha lugin. So it was precisely 3 lugin, and now it's missing that little bit. I don't care if it's 1 milliliter that's missing. Bottom line is you don't have shlosha lugin. At this point, now you can make the mikveh kosher, even if it's chaser afilu kurtav. Kosher? Because at this point, the mikveh was chaser lo shlosha lugin. It's not. No longer has 3 full lugin. Some of those 3 lugin are gone, and you only had precisely 3 lugin. Obviously, we're talking about a precise case, a specific case. So in taking out a thimbleful of water, you have basically taken out the 3 lugin. And once you take it out, then there's no permanent damage, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, that is done by having once been in a mikveh with shlosha lugin mayim psulim. So that means we have this amazing hamachlokus over here, because Rabbi Yoshua's shita is, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, when we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, but as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yoshua says the din of shlosha lugin is not like the Rambam says that it turns all the water into mayim psulim. The din of shlosha lugin is so long as there are shlosha lugin, you can't add to this mikveh to make it kosher. But if you know you got rid of the shlosha lugin by any amount, fine. So now all the water that was there before is perfectly kosher. Wow. The Chachamim Omrim. The Chachamim say, Rabbi Yossi is absolutely correct. There would be no way to make this mikveh kosher unless you got rid of shlosha lugin mayim she'uvim. But how do you get rid of shlosha lugin mayim she'uvim? Since now the whole darn thing is mayim she'uvim. So you would have to get rid of all of the water that was in there, plus, so if you had precisely 3 lugin of mayim psulim, and then you get rid of the original 39 lugin, let's say, of mayim that was megis shamim, so first you get rid of all of what was in there before, because it's all mayim shuvim. Now, what's left is 3 lugin of mayim shuvim. Take a little bit more out. Okay, now you can start making your mikveh a kosher mikveh, because you didn't start with shlosha lugin mayim psulim. So la'olam u'bifsulo ad sheyetzei mimenu milo'o plus. So milo'o va'od. So if you get rid of all of the water that was there originally before the shlosha lugin fell in, and then additional little bit more, so now we know we have less than shlosha lugin, now you can go ahead and fill in your mikveh. Whoa. Okay.
Rabbi, I really don't understand Rabbi Yeshua. How do you identify the shlosh lugim to dafka take that out, because once it's all mixed together, how do you not taking out
the... Well, there's a very simple way of doing that.
Yeah?
You take out all the water that was there originally plus.
No, but that's a chachamim. No, that's a chachamim. What about Rabbi Yeshua?
What are
they explaining, Rabbi Yeshua?
Oh, according to Rabbi Yeshua?
Yes.
Oh, if you took out any water at all, then you included, because molecules spread it throughout the water evenly. So if you took out any water at all, you must have taken out some of those 3 lugin, because you only put in precisely 3 lugin. So now you have 3 lugin minus 1 cubic millimeter. Right, so now I can't pass it. Okay.
Rebbe, according to the Shita that you couldn't start if you had if you started with Maim Shuvim. So now I've taken
No,
everything
no,
out
no.
of
That
it.
doesn't work out according to that. No.
Doesn't work out. Okay.
Well, we don't pass it like that. And we've been assuming all along here that we introduced that Shita, but since then we've been going with the Shita the Chachomim. That's a din of Shlosh Lud. Paragimel Mishnah Beit. Okay, so we are basically continuing now with showing you an actual case, which what the Chachamim said, how would we deal with it? So ketsa. So let's imagine we've got a mikveh in which precisely Shloisha Lugin of Mayim She'uvim fell in. What could we do in this case in order to be able to get ourselves a kosher mikveh? Well, you've got a bor in a chutz. So it had less than our boim saw, and exactly Shloisha Lugin fell into it. Well, that mikveh is always going to be puzzle. Achi yetze mimenu milo'o va'ot. So as we said before, it's going to be puzzle until you get rid of all of the original water, plus a little bit more. O, achi yamid b'chatzer arba'im sa'ah. Or, but you've got another way to do it. What you could do is you could dig a kosher mikveh in your chatzer. And you could put that chutzer under on a lower level if you've got a chutzer that is on an incline. You could put that underneath the other one, lower than the other one in the chutzer, or above it, for sure. And then if you get the water flowing between the water of the mikveh that was on top, and now it's flowing down into the kosher mikveh on the bottom. So then you end up having one mikveh attached to the other mikveh, and that would be kosher because of hashaka. So you could be metahera elyonim min hatachtonim. You could even have the upper mikveh. That upper mikveh will become tahar by the fact that it touches the kosher mikveh, which is now the lower mikveh. So even though I understand that the way you view Hashaka normally is that we have two mikvahot that are basically on the same level, and then we have an opening which is kishvoferet hanod between them, so that's considered to be Hashaka, and that's the normal Hashaka. But I'm trying to tell you that in this case, you don't even need that. If you've got the mikvahot in a chatzer that's on an incline, so then the water that connects the two of them is actually moving between the upper mikveh to the lower mikveh, not because they're connected to each other, but because as it fills, it starts flowing downwards. So now, if there's a kosher mikveh down at the bottom, what we do is we view that itself to be a kosher connection between them. How is that? In what way is that a real connection? Because this is the way that the Bartanura learns, the way that the Rash learns, and even though there are those who taina against it, but the earlier Mefarshim learn it, that it's dependent not on the standard Hashaka, but that the reason that it's kosher over here is because of the halacha of good asik. So you remember that there were two concepts of good that we spoke about. We were learning dinim of sukkah, and we were learning the dinim of erevin. There's what's called good asik, which means pull something up and make it connected to what's above it. And we have good achit, which is pull something down and let it be connected. In this case, we're going to say that even that would explain why we talked about the case of making the lower mikveh, the kosher mikveh, because it's a bigger chiddush, we would say that we would take the water in the lower mikveh and halachically, virtually, that is, extend the water in the lower mikveh through the concept of god asik of the water and have it mechubar to the mikveh on top, even though it's against the natural flow of gravity. But we would be using the virtual halach of god asik. Kol shekein, we would say good achit, because that's the natural flow, and that's the way that gravity would be pulling it. So that would be enough to be mitayer. The lower mikveh could go and be mitayer the upper mikveh. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that there's no such thing. So again, these mefarshim understand that there's no such thing as using good asik or maybe even good achis to consider mikvah to be as connected. That's an application that doesn't follow from the dinim of machitzas of good. Because of that, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah disagrees with the whole concept. You're left with hashaka. And if you're left with the normal din of hashaka, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the only thing that you can do is to create a hashaka. Now, the only way you could create a hashaka is by enclosing the channel to turn it into a pipe. And then you enclose the two mikvaot, since you've got a closed system that's now connecting the mikvaot to each other through the pipe. That's hashaka. And hashaka, of course, will be machshirit. But you can't be machshirit by using on a flow of water on a horizontal, which is on an incline, but it's on an angle. That's not called good asik, and that's not called good achit. So according to Rabbi Elazar, you have to actually have a normal hashaka in order to be machshir the mikvah. Okay, Shmuel, shall we continue, or that's it? Okay, a beautiful introduction to the applications and to the theory, therefore, of what is actually going on in cases where mikvah was nifsal because of shloisha lugin. Lovely. Great beginning. Looking forward to continuing tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Meanwhile, wishing all a day of Besirot Tovot and even Nisim v'Niflaot.